Budget negotiators say they're pretty close to a deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said this morning negotiators had agreed to $38 billion in spending cuts. But the two sides are reportedly still hung up on ideological differences such as funding for Planned Parenthood. That's where the stickiness begins. The deadline for a deal is midnight tonight, or a government shutdown happens. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, and she's with us live from New York with the latest, as she is every Friday. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So for now, at least, I'm looking at the stock markets. They don't seem to show any panic over a possible shutdown, haven't really, for the past few days. What's going on there?
I think investors have assumed that even if the government were to shut down, it would only be temporary, maybe lasting until Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And people may also be looking back at the 1995-1996 shutdown for some context. And in that period, stocks actually continued to go up. And in the 6 months following the shutdown, the market was up 6%. Of course, we were in the midst of a massive bull market then. This time, the economy is far more fragile.
And in 95, the shutdown lasted days and days and days, right? It wasn't just a few days.
Right. It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks. So, and here we are, literally hours away from the possibility of such a shutdown. How long would it take for investors, Jill, to get worried?
Well, I think, if we look back to that 95-96 period, the economy did lose some steam temporarily. That was due to a big drop-off in government spending. But ultimately, we recovered pretty quickly. And today, if you think about it, most of the stimulus dollars have been spent already, and whatever the government was going to spend will occur eventually. So unless a shutdown were to drag on for many, many weeks with no hopes for compromise, I think there's going to only be limited impact on corporate profits. That's what drives the stock market. And frankly, right now, investors are far more concerned about the price of oil than a government shutdown.
All right. Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Major insider trading case on Wall Street moves into its next phase on Monday, when hedge fund billionaire Rajaratnam mounts his defense in court. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports in its recent crackdown on insider trading, the government's relying on good old-fashioned phone taps.
We know, because one of our guys is on the board, we know that they're going to put $41 million in escrow.
That's Galeon founder Raj Rajaratnam. He's accused of illegally making millions from insider tips.
Some of the most powerful evidence that the government's presented has been Mr. Rajaratnam's own voice on recorded conversations. Mr. Rajaratnam has, in effect, testified against himself.
Joe Grundfest teaches corporate governance at Stanford Law School. He says the government has stepped up its game against insider trading, using techniques that had been reserved for organized crime, and that has sent shockwaves through Wall Street.
The government is being more aggressive in building its cases by using wiretaps and other forms of evidence. And there's no doubt that people will change their tactics in response to the government's evolving enforcement techniques as well.
Whether bad behavior on Wall Street really changes could depend on whether the government can get its cases to stick. If convicted, Rajaratnam faces up to 20 years in prison. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are pretty much mixed. The S&P up just a tad, a fraction of a percent. The NASDAQ is flat. The Dow down now 12 points at 12,396. Wholesale business was up in February for the 14th month in a row. But the Commerce Department today said fewer people bought furniture and cars.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
If a government shutdown happens today, the White House says there could be some trouble for America's housing market. The Federal Housing Administration, which insures about 1 in 5 new home loans, would stop backing mortgages. One part of the mortgage market that's free from the government is called MERS, and it allows the mortgage industry to buy and sell loans without recording transactions at the courthouse. From Station WFAE in Charlotte, Greg Collard explains.
The land records in Salem, Massachusetts date back to 1634. The local register of deeds, John O'Brien, says homeowners used to know which banks owned their mortgage, but 60% of the mortgages closed today are owned by something called Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, or MERS. And O'Brien says it's muddled the land record system.
I can't honestly look people in the eye who have a MERS mortgage and tell them who owns their mortgage, and that troubles me.
He says he can't track these mortgages anymore. MERS takes over once the deed is filed at the courthouse. All future transactions are tracked in the private MERS database instead of the courthouse. It's been that way since the mid-90s.
That was a time when securitization was just starting up in a meaningful way and mortgage volume was increasing.
Increasing so much, says Kurt Fotenhauer of the American Land Title Association, that courthouse technology couldn't keep up. So his group and other major players in the mortgage industry joined the big banks to create MERS.
The primary motivator was to keep up with the volume, but that does have a financial element to it.
Like no more recording fees when mortgages are sold to investors. In Salem, John O'Brien says it's a loss of $75 a pop. O'Brien estimates his county has lost at least $48 million. But even more important, he says MERS is an enabler. It's run by the country's biggest banks, and O'Brien says it allows them to keep risky transactions secret, the type of deals that got us in the trouble we're in today.
I think this is just a scheme that was put together, again, to hide from the public and not to pay fees. It's as simple as that.
MERS officials wouldn't agree to an interview, but maintain it's not necessary to record assignments at the courthouse because MERS remains the mortgage owner no matter how many times a loan is sold to investors. That claim is now the subject of several court cases. In Charlotte, I'm Greg Collard from Marketplace.
And finally, Forbes has released its latest rankings on the net worth of fictional characters. The magazine looks at real-world economic data. Scrooge McDuck tops the list. His net worth has skyrocketed as the price of gold has hit records. Texas tea titan Jed Clampett is worth $9.5 billion because the price of oil keeps going up. The real estate market in Atlantic City, though, has seen better days, so the board game king Mr. Monopoly fell a few spots on the ranking, but at least he still has free parking. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. Every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Bob Moon, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.